kind, gentle creatures that can only hurt one another by accident. He says, then there are wolves. The wolves will feed on the sheep. They're the sociopaths. They're the criminals. He says, and then there are sheepdogs. The sheep are a little leery of the sheepdog. He wanders around, checks the perimeter every night, and barks at the moon. He would never turn his teeth on the flock, but he yearns for a righteous battle. When the wolf comes around, nothing else will do, and the entire flock is sitting there trying to hide behind one lonely sheepdog as he faces down the wolves. We're talking about a creature who is capable of confronting and dealing with combat and sustaining themselves across the long haul. The goal becomes to be a sheepdog, to be a warrior, to be the one that is ready to respond to the threats when the time arises.
Welcome to Blue Justice Radio, brought to you by Lesma on Blog Talk Radio. Let's get the show started. I just want to clear something up that was just recently put on the page and is getting a lot of attention, which is awesome. New York City judge, not today though, but a couple of days ago, New York City judge, actually on Friday, had ruled in regards to Officer Holder's shooting death that the dying declaration by Officer Holder to his commanding officer is going to be admissible into that trial, which is huge. I know there's a lot of case law that backs that up, which is awesome. But with that being said, there was a little bit of concern, rightfully so, because obviously didn't want to see a cop killer go. You don't want to see a cold-blooded killer go, which is exactly what it was, more so than even just a cop killer. It was definitely a cold-blooded killing, senseless killing, and the guy's a multi-time career criminal. So for lots of reasons, you do not want to see this guy go. Judge is going to allow the dying declaration to stand as evidence, which is awesome. There really was no other evidence to back this declaration up had it been tossed. So that's what's huge. It's not like other cases where someone pushes someone in front of a train, dying declaration's made, you lose it, that's fine, but you still have eyewitnesses at the train station that saw the incident, you still have a case. This wasn't the case. So that's awesome. So some people are saying, gee, you know, I the case law, it shouldn't be an issue. You're right, it shouldn't be. But you always wonder, New York City, too, remember, judges are not very law and order friendly, which is why this thug was out on the street in the first place. Okay, so move on to that. Just wanted to cover that. I found it out today, even though it did make Friday. I was sitting there thinking, whatever happened with that, I didn't see the headlines, which is kind of discouraging. You know, there were like 50 different headlines that this was going to be examined and that this is a plea that the or not a plea, this is an issue that was brought up by defense, a motion, and a lot of people reported that, but then no one wanted to report the results. It is what it is. So I found it on one newspaper and posted it to the page. Okay, so let's go on. Yesterday we released, or I should say last night, excuse me, we released a new blog. Listen, it's not a friendly blog. It could hurt people's feelings. And this one definitely, I think, would some people. I don't think anyone in this room, and I really don't care who it hurts. It is true. And it's titled, the title is very informative in and of itself as to what it is. It's Sheep Slow Dancing with Wolves. And that's pretty much what we got is a current political climate. It's sad, but it's true. This is the deal. We live in a society now, our society is quickly becoming one in which people, you know, this once great nation and the people of it are quickly casting aside its protectors, its guardians, its shield, if you will, from the everyday dangers, those that stand the line between order and chaos. And they seem to be doing so, these sheep seem to be casting out these sheepdogs to afford them more room so they can waltz with the wolves. And that's all great, because the wolves aren't going to feed on you right away, necessarily. sure enough, they're going to get hungry, and they're going to do it. And what made me write this article, this blog, I should say, was something else I had put up in the room that broke. It broke in New York City, but it's a trend. So let me explain to you what that was for anyone who listens to this, finds this, and isn't in the group, or whatever the case may be, or just didn't find the article. You know, things can get buried on pages. New York City, the mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, is a declared communist, ran for election and won. Realistically, if you follow the election, if you go back and Google the election, it's really amazing how he won. I'm still yet to figure it out. I don't think anyone's yet to figure out how he actually won this election, but he did. God bless him. Good for him. You know, important thing is he won. He's very communist, and you would hope some people have and we've seen it in history, some people have a certain stance on things, and then they become a politician and they realize, I really can't do this. You know, it worked for me as a person. It doesn't work for me as as a mayor. Whether it be city councils or city seats or wards, or just the public themselves, just aren't 100% on board. So they have to tone back their rhetoric, tone back their speech. But we're seeing a surge in individuals running for public office that just don't do that. We came from a society which upheld certain things. One was freedom of speech. Two was everyone had a pair of balls. You didn't get so sensitive over words. You didn't get so sensitive over that type of stuff. You stood overall for what was right. People may not like what you're saying, but it is what it is, and it's right. And you stood by it, and you stood for it. Now it's not the case. Now everyone's worried about feelings. Everyone's worried about everyone else's feelings. Everyone's worried about, you know, the few instead of the masses. Let's make the few convenient, happy, comfortable, and let's make the masses suffer. So New York City following in suit with that very popular choice as of late decides it's going to pass a resolution removing certain laws from the books that it considers to be nuisance laws. You know, we would call them part of the big push we had, the broken windows policy push, that they now declare is racist. Well, in order to actually and legitimately articulate this, or I should say discuss this issue, let's get into the reasoning behind the racism of these laws, because one would say, how is a law racist? I mean, it's not a law that says you can't be black and on the street at a certain time. It's not a law that says you can't be white and live in a certain neighborhood. It's not a law that states, you must carry your ID at all times if you're Spanish. There's nothing race-related to any of these laws. What makes a racist? Well, they reviewed the statistics on these crimes, and I'll get to what these crimes are. They're actually infractions. It's still illegal, but infractions. They looked at these infractions, and they found that not only is there an overabundance of summonses being written for these things, okay, so that would lead you to believe that these things are happening a lot. They seem to be happening mainly with minorities and mainly in areas where there's higher crime, mainly in minority neighborhoods. Not only, but mainly. And this is scattered throughout the city. So they said these are racist laws. We need to change the law to get rid of these laws so that these people aren't singled out. And I agree, people shouldn't be singled out if there's no reason for them to not be singled out. You open up Pandora's box, it's all you. You take a swing at somebody, expect to get beat. You talk shit to somebody, expect to be put in your place. I don't care who you are, whether you, any, you know, person or a corporation, I don't give a fuck. But that's not the case here. You see, it's not the city passing unjust laws, and it's not the police department enforcing unjust laws. By the way, a lot of these summonses, too, are not just written by the police department. They're written by the health department. They're written by the parks department. They're written by, traffic enforcement. there's lots of different agencies that step in, DEP, that have hospital police. They've all stepped in, all these different regulatory agencies or enforcement agencies that have written these summonses, and I'm going to explain to you what they are and how asinine this is. So what they decided to do is ban these laws. Now, here's some, just some, and I picked these because I guess they're just, I find them to be pet peeves. They stand out in my mind, whatever it may be. I'm not going to run through the list. There is a little bit of length to the list, but walking your dog off a leash, that's one of them. You know, again, I have an issue with that because you have a lot of people running around. Listen, I love dogs. I love dogs. I do. All types of dogs. I prefer medium-sized dogs, but I love all dogs. I don't like the really small, yappy ones. They're cute and all, and I've had them, but they're just not my favorites. But I love all dogs. Not so much a cat person. But I put my dog on a leash because a dog can bite another dog or a person. I had one of my dogs, a beagle, that was mauled by somebody's dog who didn't have it on a leash. And then, by the way, the dog ran across three properties to get to ours, okay, while on vacation and mauled the dog pretty bad. Now, there was no reason for it. The owner's answer is, well, he's only like that to dogs, other dogs, not humans. Yeah, well, until a kid gets in the middle, maybe, or whatever the case may be, put your dog on a leash. So that's kind of stupid. But the other one, too, is, and again, this one is really stupid and disgusting, pissing in public. They're now making it, going to make it legal to piss in public. Really? So as this winter frost in a couple of months passes us by, and as the gray and dreary days of winter extend into the sunny, brightful days of spring and the flowers, the spring flowers begin to bloom, the normal heavy smell of like in Manhattan, for example, of the pretzel vendors and hot dog vendors drifting through the air, which isn't always the best of smells, but sometimes it is, is going to be replaced with the stale stench of urine. Not somewhere I want to be, but by doing things like this, I think a couple of other ones that they mentioned was, and again, these are trivial, maybe, taking up more than one seat on the subway. It is what it is. That's more of like an order thing, but I mean, is that a big issue? Probably not so much. But it is what it is. This urine thing, however, I see issue with potential health violations, spread of disease. How about just filth? They're now going to change the law and make this legal. Now, mind you, they're going to make this legal so that the people who are constantly doing this and getting tickets, not paying the tickets, and next time getting arrested and going to jail because they had a warrant because they didn't pay the ticket or whatever the case may be, or they didn't show up at a court date, they will not be guilty anymore. So we're going to correct the racism problem, alleged racism, the manufactured racism, which we've discussed before. We're going to correct it by legalizing something that should not be legalized under any circumstance because it's just vile and disgusting. We're going to legalize that to get rid of or alter the statistics and numbers so that it's not an issue anymore. I mean, that's like going to Chicago, who's averaging 10 shootings a day, and saying, we're just not going to count shootings as a crime anymore, and therefore our numbers will drop. You're not addressing the crime. You're not addressing the condition. You're not really even addressing the statistics, but you're modifying it so it doesn't look like it. It's insane. It's smoke and mirrors. But this is what we've come to in New York. You're dealing with a mayor, for example, in New York, who's so out of tune with his people, and this clearly shows it, that he's also come up with things such as just taking random warrants and allowing people to vacate them. People have had warrants for 20 years, maybe for jumping a turnstile, maybe for whatever. And we're just going to waive that. It's gone. Poof. Puff the Magic Dragon comes in, and it's all gone. Again, why are you rewarding this nonsense? That's exactly what you're doing. You are rewarding nonsense. People have an outstanding warrant. Pay it. Plain and simple. You can't pay it, you go to the court and you tell them, I can't pay it. 9 times out of 10, a court's going to turn around, especially if you're a good person falling on bad times or a good person, it was just a whatever, is going to turn around and say, okay, how about some community service? We'll give you 2 months to make up 3 hours of community service instead of paying your $75 fine. Can you do that at your leisure? Here's a place you go to. You just go sign in. Make up your hours at your leisure over the next 2-3 months. At your leisure. No, that's too simple. They just want it to be gone. It's kind of like people who just intentionally ring up shitloads of debt and just say, I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to pay it. I'm not going to pay it. I'll default on it. I won't pay it. I'll just walk away from it. And everyone else pays the consequence for it. We saw that with the housing crash, right? People bought houses they knew they couldn't afford, made payments as long as they could, walked out, claimed squatter rights, sat there for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, depending on, you know, where you are and what the rules and regulations and the type of game the person's playing. Ultimately leave the house damaged, sometimes destroyed, and walk away, ruin the property value of all the houses around them, ruin the quality of life for the people around them, and also ruin their quality of life and have no care and concern for it. You have people that do this too, not on buying houses, but with rentals. Move from rental to rental to rental, not paying rent. Move to the next one. Not paying rent. Move to the next one. They're leeches. They're societal leeches. And these people are driven by this because these politicians, these new breeds of politicians we're seeing all over the place, which are nothing more than lazy slops of the political world, are just enabling them. They're governed by jurisdictions, counties, cities, states, wards, community boards, wherever it is. And this isn't all over the place, but you are seeing it spread across the country, that are just full of ignorance. People don't get it. They just don't get it. And they're running a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, there's nothing else for it. There's no other way to explain it. You see, a Nebraska state senator, now granted this is a year ago, but, you know, again, it sets the tone. A Nebraska state senator would rather deal with ISIS, would rather break bread with ISIS than deal with police. You have ward members in Mississippi that are saying, hey, I think this is awesome. You know, here's the deal. Throw rocks at cops. You know, because we don't want them chasing criminals into our ward. Just throw rocks and bottles at them. What's the big deal? And the sheriff stands up and says, that's really ignorant and stupid, goes off on him. Like he's some entitled, you know, person, realistically. And he's not. Remember, he works for the people. But this is what he's throwing out there. And as usual, the majority of people don't agree, but the majority of people aren't vocal about it. You get the few little birds that like to chirp. They want their food. They want their freebies. They want to be pandered and catered to and have their backs rubbed. They're the ones who make all the noise, but it's not in tune with what the rest of the neighborhood wants. Do you think a neighborhood realistically wants, the majority of any neighborhood wants its cops to have bricks and bottles and stones and rocks thrown at them? Think of the precedent that sets. If an officer is somehow through all this, struck in the head and goes unconscious. He's unconscious. He's blacking out. You know what? Maybe neither. Let's not even get that severe. But maybe he's cut and he's got blood in his eyes. Whatever it is, the windshield is shattered and he's got no view of his windshield, out of his windshield at 60 miles an hour. pursuing a vehicle fleeing from a robbery. Proceeding from that point forward is danger, no matter what he does. He slams on his brakes, he continues the pursuit, whatever it may be, swerves his wheel. He can't see. You're putting a 3,000-pound bullet on the street at 60 miles an hour where kids are playing, where bus stops are full of kids or elderly people trying to get to the mall, or just people walking around, somebody out pushing a stroller. But this is encouraged. Nothing's done to this guy. As soon as the media dies down on it, and there was a little bit of a rumble, and we did it, and we kept the pressure on and still do, but now no one wants to discuss it anymore. Let it go away. Let it go away. This is the society we live in. You have council members, governments, town, city council members that are getting sworn in to their second run as a councilman while sitting in federal prison on murder and drug charges. Can you believe it? It's insane. Mr. Battle, that's his name. That's exactly what happened. Mr. Battle thought it would be a wonderful idea to do whatever he did. I'm not passing judgment. I wasn't there, and I don't know the specifics to the case. But I know that there was enough, one way or the other, to arrest this guy and him to spend some period of time in prison that he's still there to this day. And doing so, he was sworn in, reaffirmed for his position. Are you kidding me? This is, and it's out there. Research it yourself. Robert Battle, East Chicago City in Illinois. Federal drug and murder charges. Second term as a city council member. From his goddamn cell. The guy's not even out on bail. He's in his cell, they swear him in. I mean, I would think somewhere along the lines there's a loophole that needs to be clogged. Just saying. But no, we don't. You got Jim Kenney, mayor of Philadelphia, refusing to call an assassination on a police officer, even after his commissioner has said it was an attempted assassination on a police officer by an individual who states he did so in the name of ISIS, or pledged allegiance, did so in the name of Islam, and swore allegiance to ISIS, as I believe how it was stated, and then turns around and says, Islam's got nothing to do with this. Are we really that blind? Are we really that bad off that this stuff is even discussed? They take to him like it's nothing. Oh, well, it's not a big deal. Really? I got a feeling it's a big deal to the officer who was shot. Just saying, thank God, knock on wood, he's okay. But I'm pretty sure it was a big issue to him. Really big issue, actually. But this is what we're dealing with. Again, like I said, you got Kenny Stokes, Ward 3, Columbus, Mississippi, right? Throw rocks at cause. That's a wonderful idea. You know, what's funny, it's not long after he said it. I believe it was two youths, might have been three, but I think it was two of them, that were arrested for multiple incidents of throwing rocks off of overpasses after he said it. Luckily, no major injuries and no severe loss of property and damage, but there was damage, and there was great risk of personal injury, even loss of life. You can't do this. This is happening all over the country, all over the country. For Christ's sakes, you have it happening at the Academy Awards. We live in a culture that's embracing this. Ban the Academy Awards. Why? Well, no black actor got, Actor of the Year. Best Performing Actor or Leading Actor, whatever the category was. Okay? Well, that's racist. Well, to go back to how other people have mentioned before, our friend Peggy Hubbard and others, Mrs. Dash and her comments on Fox News and whatnot. Let me ask you this. When was the last time a white person won the BET Awards? Or when was the last time you saw the Chinese or Japanese or Italians or any other ethnicity complaining and boycotting because they didn't get nominated or their person didn't get nominated. I'm just curious. Because I don't see that happening. I don't see any of that happening. Now, because of this, I take great issue with that. As trivial as it is, as stupid as it is, as silly as it is, and it is, things like this are getting traction because this is the society we live in now. And we need to work very, you know, as people, we need to work very hard to get out of this funk. This wasn't the country of 20, 30 years ago. You know, like I said, you have a country now that embraces the victim and casts away its defenders. You have a country, you live in a country where they're setting up a GoFundMe for a cold-blooded killer who shot two cops, killing one, after getting all messed up and involved in a motor vehicle accident and fleeing the scene. Gunned down one cop, shot the other. They're raising money to bury this beast. Really? You live in a society that raises money through GoFundMe and other other ways that it was done. You know, the specifics are out there. To pay for bail for protesters that were burning and looting stores. Really? And you have big people in show business that are behind this and paying for it. You're allowing that to be okay. You're living in a society where you're saying, yeah, it's okay that this happens. It really is. It's okay that you burn down stores. It's okay that you steal property from those stores, which, by the way, everything there that you did damages your community as a whole, damages more than just that store. You know, that store's got to close because of it. People aren't working. People aren't getting paid. People aren't getting paid. People don't have money to support other businesses in the area because they're closed and without work while it's being rebuilt. Or whatever, investigated, restocked, whatever the case may be. Maybe the business says enough is enough and closes permanently. Now you're leaving a vacant spot in your community that may be employed 2, 3, 4, 10 people, 20 people, whatever it may be, and you're leaving it empty. You're leaving it scarred, and you're leaving your neighborhood no better off. But yet somehow everybody in the neighborhood needs to be grateful for what you did and should chip in and pay for your bail when you're destroying their neighborhood. That's insane. We live in a society where we want to take the problem child, the problem people, and we want to make them the victim here, even though they victimize everyone else. And the reality is you look at case after case in recent history. You know, you can look at Sandy Hook in Connecticut. You can look at the Aurora, Colorado Dark Knight movie theater massacre. These two individuals from two separate coasts, from two separate parts of the country, from two separate time zones, from two different backgrounds. If you look at the history of these shooters, in this case, these animals, that's purely what they were, they were fucking nuts. They were psychopaths. They didn't deserve to be out in the street, out in public. They should have been locked up in an institution like a lot of the crazy people that are out there right now. And that does not mean everybody. There's a lot of people that are borderline dangerous, schizophrenic, and unable to function without being heavily medicated that in reality would be safer to society if they were locked away. But we live in a society that says no. In exchange for making them feel better, we're going to put them out there on medication, hope everything goes well, and let everybody else deal with it. And when that does work, it is wonderful. But when it doesn't work, it's horrifically tragic. No better way to put it. Those two cases alone are just an example. And no, opening up institutions isn't going to put everyone away, and it isn't going to solve every whatever, but it helps. and it limits it. We have to get back to the society we were. It wasn't perfect, and there was and is a need to change. But the reality is we're turning in a way. We overturned our ship, and I don't know where the hell it's going now, but we are sitting in a opportune time and place to make changes. It really is the opportune time and place. We have too many people that are just—I don't even know what the motive is. I really don't. I'd love to discuss it. We can do the show for months, but it's insanity. I mean, you're realistically swearing in government members. Doesn't matter how small the government is, right? City council position or whatever. You're swearing them in a prison cell, for Christ's sakes. Really? You're going to get rid of public urination? What? So now the people of New York City, thank God I'm not in New York City anymore. You're going to have the people in New York City. Can you imagine people just walking up to like your kid's bus stop and just peeing because, you know, they're peeing? I mean, the reality, okay, granted, you know, I'm sure they're still on the books about, you know, exposing yourself. But even if they're not exposing themselves, I don't want someone with their back towards my kid pissing on a wall at a bus stop. And I don't know anyone who else who would. To be honest with you, I don't think anyone who's actually doing that would want their kids to see that. But we live in a society that says, rather than change the problem, let's make it go away by making it legal. That's the mentality we take. The mentality we take is, oh, well, you know, people doing crazy things all the time, but you know what? They're doing what they believe in. So it's okay. Is it? Is it really? Is it really okay? Is it really okay to go out there and, you know, fight this bullshit and perpetuate this myth, you know, hands up, don't shoot? You know, as reporters, as journalists, as activists, right, with the Black Lives Matter movement, perpetuate this myth that you know is no good, you know is false, you know is bullshit, right? Your state courts have found out, officer innocent, this did not happen. You know what? Your Justice Department stepped in and screamed racial injustice and civil rights cases or whatever, and then turned around and said, shit, that's not what happened. This ain't legit. And yet people will still go forward perpetuating a myth that doesn't exist, they know doesn't exist. And we live in a society that says, poor them, and it's okay that they're doing this, because they're the victim here. They're the victim here, and that's why that's okay. That's why that's okay. And it's okay because they're fighting for what they believe in. Doesn't have to be right. Doesn't have to be just. Doesn't have to be based on fact. Doesn't have to be based on anything. Based on a delusion is what it's based on. Based on a lie. We're going to go after them. But how about the people like, I don't know, Tony LaPorte. He stood up for what he believes in, and he stood up for something that was just, something that was reasonable, something that was truthful. He was honest. He didn't get politics involved. He didn't get occupation involved. Did it on his own dime, on his own time, but yet was crucified for doing so. And all he did was basically stand up against a BLM person writing some pro-BLM stuff on Dunkin' Donuts cups and handing it out to people, including the cops that came in. The neighborhood was upset. They started an organization, a small group, gathering, whatever you want to call it, and a quiet, peaceful protest against them. They were penalized. But the same time that this happened, the same group, meaning Black Lives Matter, not the same individual, in another state, at the same time that he's being crucified for doing this, is doing arm lock protests in front of stores on Black Friday so that businesses can't make money and people can't go shopping for the holidays. People and businesses that had nothing to do with anything you're protesting, by the way. Nothing to do with anything you're protesting. We're just going to disrupt it. Why? And where in this society does that become normal? Does that become acceptable? You can't speak up because they claim it's racist. Well, maybe it's got something to do with the fact that you're a truthist. You'd rather the truth be known and they're fake, they're bullshit, and let's move on with it. But no. We're going to sit here and entertain stupidity and ignorance as our society crumbles and slides further into the abyss. Because that's exactly what's going on here. We need to, as a society, as a people, stand up against this stupidity. I'm plain and simple, and I'm sorry to say stupidity so much, but I really can't think of a better word. And I'm trying, believe me. I just can't think of it. I know I'm usually pretty good with coming up with, new words, new phrases. I just can't here. It's unbelievable and disheartening. That being said, though, there is a chance. We have to stand up. We are not the only show out there that stands up for this. We are not the only group out there that does this. There are many of us, as you know, many of us. And, as we always do, we stand united. It is what it is. We have to start fighting back. We live in a society that's taking everything from the hardworking individuals and giving everything to those who don't. And I know, for one, I'm sick and tired of dealing with it. I'm sick and tired, as I know you all are, of being held accountable for other individuals' stupid actions. I'm done. I'm sick and tired of a country that rewards little old ladies spilling hot coffee in their lap. Hot coffee. You ordered a hot coffee. But you decide to put it between your legs while you're driving, pull out of the drive-thru, take the top off to put your cream in, slam on your brakes, squeeze your legs together, spill the coffee on your lap, get a burn, and now you sue for millions. Now, granted, appeals court lessen the amount. You shouldn't even be getting your medical bill paid. There's something called stupidity. How about you wait 30 seconds, pull out of the drive-thru to a safe section of the road, parking lot, whatever, stop the car, and do it then. The fact that we live in a society where if we removed all warning labels, we would see a drastic drop in the population is insane. It is insane. We live in a society that wants to punish people because other people aren't sane enough to live in it, civil enough to live in it, or social enough to live in it. All of society for those few. We live in a society where we have congressmen and senators that like to turn around and say things like, well, we have to pass the law to see what's in the law. Well, no, actually you don't. I think we actually pay for you to have aides and assistants to help you with that problem. And it is your duty to know what's in the law, tell us what's in the law, clarify what's in the law, answer our questions about the law, and then vote on the law based on what we tell you. That's your job. You're our representative. But that's not the world we live in anymore. It's not the world we live in anymore. We live in a world where we are mad that our cops are aggressive or, whatever, which is true. Listen, if a cop is out of line, a cop is out of line, right? But we provide them with weapons to to minimize the severity of the contact and interaction, and we call them non-lethals. Mace, baton, taser, stun gun, back when they called them stun guns, day billies, whatever you want to call them, shepherd's hooks, poly shields, right? So we have all these different types of things that we have. Paintball guns that shoot the ball filled with pepper spray, right? We have that. Fire extinguishers filled with pepper spray and mace. Yet we penalize officers when they use them. We're now penalizing officers. Oh, They tased him twice. That's cruel. Yeah, well, the first one didn't work. Well, why'd you have to mace him and then tase him? You should have just tased him right away. I mean, if that's the logic you're going to use, then you should have just shot him right away. I mean, really? You're using, the officers are using the progression of force scale that's been generated. And if a criminal's not going to listen, if an emotionally disturbed person's not going to comply, then guess what? It's going to ratchet up to the point. But the idea is it's all being done for less injury to the public, to the officer, and yes, even up until a certain point, the individual they're trying to calm down, subdue, whatever. We're yelling at our officers for doing that. We have a society that's screaming for the demilitarization of police when they're not nearly as militarized as the pictures they show. They make it seem like every cop car is bulletproof and armored and everyone's got machine guns. Not the case. I'm looking at pictures put out in regards to the storm that hit, of all these agencies, all these people that were stuck, and the cops were using government vehicles, deuce and a half and Humvees, to get people out and to get around roads and to pull out fire engines and ambulances. Multiple jurisdictions. I'm not saying all of them, just multiple jurisdictions doing this. This is all equipment that should be and has to be returned. And it's not being used in a violent manner, and it's not vehicles you see used on a daily basis. But again, we live in a society that likes the blanket statement. But that being said, don't ever blanket statement those using it. It's okay when there's a shooting incident to saying, oh my God, we must ban all guns. But when there's a stupid political movement, don't you dare say we have to ban all politicians. If there's a terrorist attack, don't you dare go against the administration and say, we need to ban all Muslims from entering the country till we figure out who's here and who's not, because these people had visas and were vetted. But yet it's okay to turn around and say, we got to get rid of all guns, no one should have them, because this guy had a license and still killed somebody. Or, better yet, this guy didn't have a license, didn't apply for a license, stole the gun or bought a stolen gun, or intentionally went to someone else to get him a gun who could get it legally and then buy it off of that person to go commit their crime. Everyone's got to pay. Really is insane. Something's got to be done. This is where we're going. It's a slippery slope. I'm not going to get into, not on this show, and I'm not actually even going to address it on any show. You know, being that we're talking about guns and all that, I'm not going to address anything that happened in regards to this Bureau of Land Management standoff and this Bundy character, Eamon Bundy, and what happened there. I'm not seeing much in the way of posts from people. I've seen one or two. But again, it's a big factor in that. And it's perfect because they were white. They were legally armed. One's dead, one's wounded, several arrested, two released because they didn't have warrants on them. But the reality is they ran a roadblock, or at least tried to. Didn't work out. They fled from authorities once they were already stopped by authorities. And then they charged officers. So it's a perfect example. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter whether the gun's illegal or not. Doesn't matter whether you're using your amendments or not. You charge towards officers in a heated situation, you're leaving them with absolutely, positively no option but to fire. It is what it is. The only thing that sucks is somebody's dead and that officer had to pull a trigger. Now, granted, I'm sure 9 times out of 10 the officers can handle it. The ones that are out there are not the routine officers. They're trained professionals. They deal with it. Doesn't mean it's easy, but it's easier. It would have been easier had that person just, you know, took the bullet themselves. They forced someone's hand. There's no valor in that. There's no honor in that. You're a fool. You're an idiot for doing that. You're ruining this cop's life. You're ruining everyone's life. You're ruining your family's life. Don't do that shit. But the reality is it's not the cop. And there are some people out there that are going to be like, this is the federal government's fault. This is the cop's fault. No, again, that's the problem. Get out of that mind state. It's not anyone's fault but the individual who controlled it. No one is responsible here but them. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. The individual who's behind the wheel, if he chose to run the roadblock, right, run from the cops, he's responsible for any and all action against everyone else in that vehicle. He brought it on. When the vehicle came to a stop and someone jumped out of the vehicle and then decided to charge the cops, he is responsible for that action that he took. Let's put the blame where it needs to go. Let's put the blame where it needs to go, not where it's been going, because it's not going in the right spot. Law enforcement are constantly, constantly beat up in our society for everything. People don't like them to talk. People don't like them to express their opinions. People say you don't have a right to an opinion. You know what? Fuck you. You're wrong. They're people. They do. They're acting out on their own time, on their own dime, retirement or active duty, candidate or what? They got freedom of speech. The second you tell me they don't have a freedom of speech, then I want to know why you have a Nebraska state senator and why you have a Columbus, Mississippi councilman who are speaking dangerous tones and rhetoric to their constituents and encouraging violent acts from their constituents and are allowed as a public official to have the right to do so protected by the Constitution, and no one advances on it. I can sit here and say that there might be some similarities between these type of cases as to why one's being enforced and one's not. That's a topic for another show. But we have to stop coming up with this one standard for one, another standard for another, because there's your divide. There's your manufactured racism. New York City itself, because we started the show on New York City, New York City itself is instituted off of, it might be other places too, but New York City itself has instituted a policy based off of the Obama administration. Now, you know, I understand the concern. I do, but certainly not the answer. To ban, too many minority children are receiving too strict of punishments in New York City public schools. They want non-minority students to receive harsher punishments and minority students to receive lesser punishments. However, when you look at the breakdown, which we did on another show, of those disciplinary figures, and you compare them to the crime figures, and you compare them to prison population figures, and you compare them to police stop and crime reports, information, and all that other stuff, the numbers are pretty much there and support each other, if you actually bother to look at them. They actually do support themselves. And these are figures given by Department of Justice, figures given by the FBI, figures given by New York City Council, figures given by New York City Police Department, and figures that are all certified through Department of Justice, ACLU, you name it. But yet everyone wants to now look at these numbers and say, maybe there's an issue here we need to address. I'm going to be the first, I'm not going to be the first to say it, but I am going to say it today, and maybe today I'm the first to say it. I think the problem you need to look at is more societal in all this than anything else. However, that said, you look at these figures, and you see racism has nothing to do with it. There is something much bigger. But penalizing a kid for doing, let's say, a violation A, and punishing him like he did a violation B, considering B is a higher offense, all right? So he's going to get more punishment for doing a lower offense thing in school, but then taking another kid who did a B, a more serious offense, that the one kid's getting punished, getting the punishment rate for, and punishing that kid for an A offense? What are you doing other than generating friggin' hatred? For fuck's sake, you're not solving anything. You're creating hatred, you're creating a divide, and you're creating insanity, chaos, disillusioned children. It's no different than passing your No Child Left Behind. Too many minority kids being left behind. Okay. Well, we got to fix it. Okay. Everyone agrees on this. I agree on this. I'm sure everyone does. It's for our children. Yep. I got you. We must do something drastic. Agree completely. Let's just pass them if they don't pass and let them move on. What? Now you got kids in high school that can't read. You got kids who figure out how the hell they can't get to college and pass their SATs. Well, how am I not passing? I graduated all the way to high school. What do you mean I can't be a lawyer or a doctor or a school teacher or, you know, an engineer or an architect or a nurse? I don't get it, but I went to college, you know. Yeah, you went to community college. It's the only one that would take you. Yeah, but I went. I got my 2 years, and I made it all the way through grade school and high school without ever getting left back because you're socially promoted. System's flawed and failed. We live in a society where this is acceptable and goes on all over the country. Not everywhere, but all over the country. And now the institution of Common Core. What are you doing with Common Core? You're dragging everything down to estimations. Oh, estimate how many paper clips are in a foot. One kid writes 5, one kid writes 10. You both write. Congratulations. You both pass. Well, you got the answer wrong, but you showed the work right. I'm going to give you half credit. Really? How does that work? The dumbing down of society, the pussification of our society, is unheard of. We live in a society that wants to penalize men for acting like men, wants to crucify people for speaking up, speaking their piece if it doesn't fit into what you think. Guess what? Everyone's entitled to an opinion. Just like everyone has an asshole. And you have an opinion, that's fine. You can think I'm an asshole. Just like I can think you're one. You can think I'm wrong, I can think you're wrong. But maybe one day we can all act like grown-ups and actually just listen to each other. Seriously, listen to each other. Clear our minds of our own prejudice and hear what we're saying. Maybe you're not understanding the way I'm sending the message out, or maybe I'm not understanding the way you're sending your message out, because maybe, just maybe, we're all a little bit frustrated. And maybe the people we need to really be angry with instead of each other are the people that are pulling the strings on this marionette. Maybe it's your city council members. Maybe it's your city health departments. Maybe it's your mayors and your governors. Maybe it's your politicians in Washington. Maybe it's your lobbyists who are only interested in their money. Maybe it's the media who's only interested in more views. Sensationalizing shit that just isn't worthy of being sensationalized. Printing their half-truths or their half-stories, spinning, as we see all the time. Maybe that's where our problem lies. Maybe everyone plays us for a fool and pins us against each other because they're the ones who make money. Show me one single protest where anyone benefited anything that involved Al Sharpton. And don't include him and his organizations benefiting financially, emotionally, socially, or anything. Find somebody else within it. None, because they're in it for the money. They're a huge cash machine that's fed off of hate. But it's the world we live in. We need to, as a society, address that. We will address that. At some point, hopefully before it's too late. I don't know from this point forward where we go as a nation. We have an election coming up. We have, on one side, a batshit crazy Bernie Sanders who wants everybody across the board, to pay 75% in taxes. How the hell is that going to work? I have no idea. Or you got crazy Hillary, who lies through her teeth about everything. Okay, I gotcha. That being said, on the other end of the coin, you have people that may or may not have been born in Canada, may or may not be citizens. I'm not getting into that. I'm not saying I believe it. Just hear me out. You got a man leading in the polls in double digits everywhere, right? Looks like he's going to be the clear winner. Can't get along with anyone else on stage, though. So it makes you wonder who the hell he's going to pick as a candidate. You got Ben Carson, who, I'll be honest with you, I love the guy. I'm not going to vote for him. I have an issue with the fact that he's so soft-spoken. Heck of a nice guy. Credentials out his ass. Brilliant. It is what it is. It's the political game. You got to give the whole package, or then you're just choosing lesser of two evils. But I'll tell you this. Clearly, I'll tell you this. If you're leading the pack by double digits, and this is where the media spin comes from, Megyn Kelly from Fox, news anchor, was very much against him, gave him a beating. Rightfully so. She wasn't a fan of his, and there were questions that had to be asked. And he fared well, and he handled it, and then he acted like a little bit of a child. He's known to do that. Okay. Really makes you wonder if that's the best thing for the White House, but whatever. She's going to be doing the next GOP debate, right? We see in the articles, well, I'm Trump, and I'm not going. If she's there, fuck her, fuck that, fuck this, you know. Like a cat in a hat with this guy. He doesn't go. And now I read today, it looks like, yeah, again, this could just be people jumping the gun, but other news agencies are reporting that there's talks to fire her going on at Fox in regards to her handling of this, you know, due to comments she made. But I have a question. Why are we punishing her? It's her job. And she drew up a good question. A man who cannot perform in a debate with her as a moderator and is already leading the polls, right? He could go there and just not answer anything she says and wave to the camera. It would not affect his numbers at all. Just like, to be honest, not going didn't affect his numbers. And we're penalizing her for standing up and saying, is this the kind of guy you really want dealing with people like Putin? Where he's going to say, you got me mad and I'm upset with you, so now I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to just pretend you don't exist. You can't let these problems go on like they don't exist. We're dealing with that now with our current regime. That's exactly what they do now, pretending people don't list. Giving money to Iran on promises they won't build nukes, knowing damn well and agreeing and admitting to the fact that they know a lot of that money or a good portion of that money is going to go back into state-sponsored terrorism, which is ultimately going to hurt us or its neighbors or our allies. But we're okay with that. We're okay with that because we got a bunch of half-baked politicians and we follow them like lemmings. And now Megyn Kelly is going to sit there and possibly get fired for asking one good question. That kind of just went against the grain of everything. This, by the way, coming from Fox News, who was not a fan of his, but now that he's leading, is. Really? This is our society and what we've come to. We got to start taking a serious look at ourselves. Our victims are no longer our victims. Half of them are our problems, our trouble, and we're handling them the wrong way. We're handling them the wrong way because we've allowed politicians to make decisions that should have never been made by them because they were made and guided by long hands in deep pockets and organizations backing change and movement that have large streams of money. And there ain't a politician out there on a local level or anything that doesn't somehow have himself tied into it or get himself tied into it. Just for the sake of argument. Donald Trump cannot be bought by anybody, I agree, but if you don't think a man like that won't go into office and somehow make certain things easier for him when he's out, or his dynasty, right, kids, company, and all that, you're crazy. It is what it is. We have to start looking at the bigger picture. We don't. Everyone's upset over this one's feelings getting hurt, that one's feelings getting hurt. Listen, we're all adults here. We need to stop. This is shit that goes on when you're a kid, when you're a child. But as an adult, you got to pull up your pants and act like one. If you're getting hurt over these things, you really need to, like, evaluate yourself and your situation. Let's work on a bigger picture so we can affect everything else. Everything rolls downhill, my friends. Water, shit, balls, garbage, you name it, gravity brings it downhill. With that being said, let's work together to change things at the top. Change our lawmakers, our policymakers, and hopefully, sometime in the near future, we can make some good change that actually affects us, our future, our offspring, and our nation. So I just want to thank you all for letting me vent and listen to what I got to say. I think we need a lot more listening on both sides. And that's about it. We're done for today. I had to get this off. It's good to do. We got to do it. We got to start looking at the bigger picture, people. Stay tuned. Tune in tomorrow. Tomorrow's Thursday. I don't know what we're doing Thursday. We'll have Ken in on Friday. Hope to hear you all on Friday. Take care. God bless. Thank you all. Bye.